October 2018. Welcome, my friends, to the end of the world. Yes, according to Bloomberg, this just in. It's the end of the world, thanks to the climate scientists, alarmists. We'll come back to that, because that's what you do when they tell you that the world is ending. First, I want to, with 3 months left in 2018, say that I hope it's been a good, productive year for you. It's certainly been an eventful one here on this planet. I want to check in on a couple of the things that have just happened in the last few days here before taking a step back and looking at some of the assumptions that we've made, some of the theories we had posited over a year ago, and just check in on them, see how they're doing. Is the data matching what we postulated? All right. So starting in Denmark here today, where they reported the worst grain harvest in 35 years. Due, of course, to unseasonable weather. According to one expert, if you take it crop for crop, it's perhaps the worst harvest in 100 years. While the principal explanation is the extended period of drought, which lasted from when the crops were sown until they were harvested, poor things, we can also attribute to poor weather in the autumn of 2017, when there was a high amount of rainfall, part of the blame. So we're seeing the failures cascade, right? The losses build over time. Other storms, people killed, towns flooded by a typhoon Trami in Japan. Trees were blown down, vehicles flipped, and power lines destroyed by the 100-mile-an-hour-plus winds there. This was taking place. And farms and homes, according to the AP, were also flooded. Hurricane Cindy hitting Greece and Turkey. Some astonishing pictures here of the flooding there. Lots of rain falling in just 24 hours, which results in, yeah, scenes like this, really hard to watch. Crops also affected there. And so what does that mean? Well, just like Ampang recently hit, inflation seen now, the onslaught of Typhoon Ampang, International Mangkhut, which hit the country's vegetable basket, we talked about that only a few weeks ago, has already pushed up prices. It's jacked up inflation to a fresh high in more than 9 years. Yes, food prices rise when we experience catastrophic crop losses. Or crap losses. Mexico, some massive flooding there. I posted a video of, really it was just touching to watch people banding together to work through an awful situation there. It was a bit traumatic to watch, and so I won't share it here on my channel because I don't do that. But I did post it to my Facebook because if you're on Facebook, you're already traumatizing yourself, so go look for it there. I wanted to share this from the LA Times today, speaking to the failure of the tsunami system in Indonesia after the earthquake there. Right, again, rising seismic activity. Catastrophic Indonesian tsunami shows critical blind spot in the warning system for California, but also for beyond. It turns out, let me just look for DART here, it turns out that even had that system worked, having a working deep sea sensor network of the kind used by the US and other nations, known as DART, would not have helped. Deep sea sensors are intended to detect tsunamis that are far away from the destination and incoming, not generated next door by an earthquake, right? It doesn't work that way. So this just shows you that, in fact, you may think that we have warnings on these things, but more broadly, folks, do not depend on this state for your survival. Do not depend it to tell you about an incoming wave or a change in the sun's output, an imminent failure of our crops. Do not depend on the state for your electrical system, for your food production. Do not depend on the government. They do not have your interests at heart, and even if they did, they probably would not be able to help you. Rainfall in Australia. They experienced their driest September on record. I'm getting tired of saying on record. Unprecedented. Australia has notched its driest September on record, less than a third of the usual rainfall, extending the dry spell that has farmers and firefighters alike increasingly desperate. Of course, we've been following the study, the story down there, cows eating watermelons and other anything that they could get their hands on, right? And then also catch this supplement feed shortage now. putting a strain on farmers that are already struggling with the drought. It turns out the drought is so severe, it's the last thing they needed, but dry conditions are now affecting the production of a wide range of feed supplements. So not only is there no feed, but you can't even find supplements with which to get by. Just a bad situation there. Now, after the video I did of all, the previous video of all the cold records across both hemispheres, record snows, this has continued. A cold record in Poland has been made. Meteorologist shocked. Netherlands, coldest September night in 47 years was recorded. Yes, it's happening, folks. The temperatures are declining. And we did talk about this. You'll recall from this paper, Wilson Carter Waite, that I read to you the words in section 4.3. Important consequences of this. Interestingly, the sun's solar cycle has been in the phase-locked mode for the last 105 years. Indications are that it's about to suffer a phase catastrophe after cycle 24. If that's the case, the world's mean temperature should be noticeably cooler. The cooling should start in the late 2010s. It would seem that they nailed it. It would seem that this is the case. I talked about this in one of my very first videos, describing the barycenter of the solar system, which is not at the middle of the sun. The sun itself rotates around the center of gravity of the whole system. It's highly influenced, as you can see here, by the large gas giants, the Jovian planets. And it turns out that as the sun does this spin, this little dance around the barycenter, its velocity, its acceleration, both of these things, affect the principal magnetic fields. Zarkova's work that resulted in the Washington Post saying, no, we're not headed for an ice age. Remember that headline? Zarkova did a model of those two fields, right? Just to review this briefly, and showed that we were now diverging, that they were falling apart. So you can see that their additive components down here form the 11-year sun cycle. There it is. Vroom, vroom, vroom. That's what's happening. These two magnetic fields are flipping and they're strong. But now there's a phase catastrophe. They're falling out of synchronization. They are no longer harmonious. They are diverging. You can use whatever language from whatever realm of the world you want to. The point is, these fields are interfering with each other instead of being additive now. And that means that the net output and the net activity in sunspots, it's been the quietest year, right, is approaching zero. That's why we're experiencing this. It's not global warming. Vroom, 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 right? The things are going along fine, and then all of a sudden, it happens over and over. This is a cycle. Last time, Maunder minimum, you can see, vroom, vroom, oh, just fizzles out. And this is exactly what happened. It goes into divergent phase of the magnetic fields. Zarkova's model works to explain these previous solar minimums that we've seen. Now, is that in the news? It's proving out. We're seeing it to be true. Temperatures are falling. All of a sudden, we have a model that works to describe this. In fact, it's not all of a sudden. Jose's paper, 1965, was describing movement around the barycenter as responsible for the solar activity. So this is not new science. It's not news to us. In fact, it's only relatively recently, as the climate science realm has been overturned by it's been overly politicized. We'll put it that way. That people have forgotten how these things worked. What is mainstream media doing? They're too busy telling us that the world is over. You know, I shared this Onion piece. I just found a reference. I shared this Onion piece because it says, climate researchers warn, now the only hope for humanity lies in the possibility that they're making all of this up. After reviewing our climate models, humanity is doomed. Literally, we're doomed unless there's a massive nefarious conspiracy spanning everything. Well, reality and satire are meeting. We're at that point where everything is so ridiculous, and that in that agenda, at least their reality has diverged so far from a real reality that it does look crazy. So returning to what I opened with from Bloomberg a couple days ago, the new climate debate is what are we going to do at the end of the world? Researchers are thinking about social collapse and how to prepare for it. Briefly, I'll read from their trash here. at the end of 2016, before Puerto Rico's power grid collapsed, wildfires reached the Arctic and a large swath of North Carolina, was submerged under floodwaters. There was an academic paper published asking, what should we do to prepare for planetary climate catastrophe? We're going to be forced to do something. 2 years later, as we suffer through a second consecutive season as record hurricanes, fires, that's a lie. See, a lot of this is, more academics are approaching questions once reserved for doomsday cults. Can we prepare for a world in which global warming threatens large-scale social, economic, and political upheaval? What are we going to do? Adaptation, they then go on to define as ways to blunt the immediate effects of the weather. We can build seawalls to confront the rising sea levels, which are not rising. We can update building codes. Yeah, this is actually very expensive and frankly not effective. But some researchers now are going further. They call for the deep adaptation agenda. The world is ending, and so therefore, rapid decarbonization, storm-resistant infrastructure, water and comms systems that won't fail if the power grid goes down, safeguarding the food supply by protecting pollinators. All of that is great except for the deep, rapid decarbonization. You're going to take away your entire economy here. I just want to point out, this is not your grandfather's adaptation. So they're well aware that what they're calling for is ridiculous. And here's that guy's paper. Sadly, the analysis leads the author to conclude that climate-induced collapse is now inevitable. For the past decades, quote, I have relied on the IPCC, which was worrying enough, but the measured changes outpaced even the worst predictions of the IPCC. We're all going to die! Ah! I mean, this guy's freaking out. He's freaking out, and he wants you to freak out too. He's got a LinkedIn group started with 500 people in it. Come, join us. We here know that we're all going to die because of global warming. It's a support group. It's not a place to discuss whether collapse is going to happen. It's not a place. Your post is going to get deleted if you post anything that debates climate science whatsoever. In fact, your post is even going to get deleted if you call for positivity. Yeah, don't do that. Don't try and be positive. Not in the presence of these climate alarmists. No. No, it's got to be hell on earth tomorrow, now. John Podesta, 2014, using the same language, tipping point, right? We've seen this. Why are we seeing it from, I mean, John Podesta himself, right? Hillary Clinton's person. I've talked about this extensively because this is an agenda. It's not a reality. In fact, it's diverged. This is what we're talking about. It's diverged so far from reality that it is meeting with satire. It is approaching ridiculous. Here they are inventing the concept of global warming at the Club of Rome. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and life would fit the bill. Damn it, dangers are caused by us, and only by changing attitudes and behaviors, only by becoming a totalitarian global superstate and controlling everything you do, can we possibly solve these problems that are now ramping up for natural causes. So they've laid the framework here, and that's why he's freaking out, because he needs you to give him control over everything stat before the temperatures drop. And I've been talking about this. The reality is that the temperatures are falling off. This is going to accelerate all of this, folks. You know, when you look at this phase shift, where's Zarkova? And you realize, in fact, these two magnetic fields, while diverging for some time now, are only really now coming into opposite polarity here. This is really only now starting to see the effects of the low net activity on the sun. And it's going to get much more interesting. And when we've already dropped the world's grain supply by 5%, food prices rising drastically across the world, the storms that I can't even keep track of, if this is just the beginning, then I think this underscores the need for us all to take steps every day to get prepared for for the loss of security on our streets, folks. We need to start growing our food, and we need to get prepared. There's just no better way to say it. These cycles luckily have been documented before in history. You know, the fact that it's a natural cycle means we can look back and see what's happened, the cold, the crop losses, the lack of fodder, all the things we're seeing now, we're starting to see now. So I'm going to drop links to all of these scientific studies, to these bits of history, and sort of what I extracted from it, the symptoms, the food shortages, the crop losses, the feed and grain shortages, seismic invoked. I mean, this we're going down the list of the things that have been ramping up, and this is why. It all makes sense. I wish it were wrong, right? It'd be great if we could just have increased CO2, which helps plants grow. It's just not the case, folks. It's just not the case. Now, I'm really sore right now because I've been planting trees. And I wanted to mention among those trees a couple that I think maybe you'll find useful. When all of these things are in question, when it's equally likely that I could be getting a 100-year flood or a 100-year drought next year, then you have to design for that. You have to be really careful. And so I've selected some trees here that are both hardy in case temperatures drop off much more quickly than we'd like, and that are drought resistant in case I don't get any rain as much as I'd like. And among those I've selected, here are three. The Chicago hardy fig, which is actually hardy all the way down to the current zone 5. And once established, doesn't need much watering. We'll say much watering to produce. Similarly, with the Carpathian walnut, the Idaho variety, this is a late blooming variety of walnut, which escapes the spring frosts. You can use that all the way down to zone 4. So both of those are great to produce food. Once established, you're not going to need to water these guys. And that's it. That's what I'm looking for, right? Something I can put in the ground and depend. Even if it doesn't rain, even if it gets a little bit colder, I can depend on this tree kicking out walnuts with great fat content. And this is how I stand up independent and resilient food production that coming a couple of years from now, I won't even have to touch, right? It's just going to drop, and hopefully I'll be around to get it. And then another one that is more, that is less hardy would be the Mission olive, which is going to kick out olives. It is, I think, down to zone 8. So again, not as, zone 8. It's as cold as you're going to get there. So this is pretty much for Mediterranean zones. But again, without much, once established, without any irrigation, this thing is going to kick out olives from which you can extract cooking oil, and that's a hard thing to get in a self-sufficient way. And other, other uses for your olives. Pickling is the other one here. All right, folks, just a couple quick suggestions to get you thinking about the, not even these trees, so much as to see the way that I'm thinking about this problem approaching. If we can't depend on the climate, let alone any of the human systems that deliver to us electricity, food, and water, where do you start? You take a pretty big step back and you start thinking creatively about what kind of life you'd like to live. And then you figure out how to create that life from the things that are around you in a sustainable way. Folks, I hope this has been a helpful step back and a look at what's going on and where we are in that process and how it's playing out and what you can start doing as a result. Spread the word. The world is not ending, although the climate alarmists would have you believe so. But it is changing. And so too must we change. Now. Let's get to it. Thanks, folks.